we could get going, there's lots of wonderful testimony out there. I'd really like to start, because we do have a time limit of 4:30, excuse me. So we'd like to get everybody in. This meeting of the Joint Hess and Senate Committee is called to order at 3:07. The date is February 8th, 1996. My name is Cynthia Tuohy, presiding. Members present are Representative Ellis. Wishful thinking. Senator Ellis, Senator Green, Representative Con Bundy, Representative Gary Davis, and as I said, I'm Representative Tuohy. On today's calendar, we have presentations on disability issues. We have signed up Jim Beck, Beth LaCrosse, Jerry Bess, Bob Stabbard, Nancy Dodge, Leslie Yamamoto, excuse me. And Jim Beck, you'll be closing. So if there's nobody else to testify, if we could begin now, I'd really appreciate it. Please, go ahead, Jim.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jim Beck. I'm from Palmer, Alaska, and I'm the chair of the Statewide Independent Living Council. I'm here before you today to introduce representatives of a fine group of dedicated Alaskans who volunteer a great deal of their lives to create an Alaska, our state, that as a central value values all its citizens, including those of us with disabilities. We serve on the State Independent Living Council, on the Governor's Council for Special Education and Disabilities, Disabilities and Special Education, the Governor's Committee on Employment of Persons with Disabilities, the Alaska Vocational Rehabilitation Advisory Council, and the Assistive Technologies of Alaska Advisory Council. We've been participating this week in really an historic set of meetings. We have all met as five different bodies to look at ways that we can coordinate and collaborate our services. And certainly in these economic times, it's something that we know we need to do to provide the most effective services. As I said, we've been collaborating on the vision that we all share for our great state. And it's a vision that I'm sure your committee shares as well. This vision reveals the potential that we are all capable of realizing together. And building on our core belief in the value of all citizens, we see an Alaska where citizens with disabilities can live with dignity in the community of their choice, where citizens with disabilities receive the services they need, not in institutions, but in neighborhoods where we all live, where citizens with disabilities benefit from and participate in a free and appropriate public education, with their friends, with their peers, with their neighbors, where citizens with disabilities reap the benefits and rewards of our educational institutions and other community services and enter into gainful employment or other significant activities, and rather than becoming an economic drain, become a part of local solutions to local problems, where citizens with disabilities exercise their citizenship, such as in a hearing like today, where citizens with disabilities, whether they use a wheelchair, or walk with crutches, or communicate with sign language, communicate with a device or technology, read Braille, experience a mental illness, or have any other disability, are able to participate fully, not only in our government, but in every other facet of life that our great state offers. To realize this vision of human potential, we don't need big, complicated government programs, but what we do need is thoughtful investment in sensible programs. Programs that are coordinated and provided at the most local level. Programs that value families and value the dignity of all Alaskans. This afternoon, you will hear about some of the specific components of this vision from real Alaskans who serve on our boards and commissions, Alaskans who have a disability or have spouses or children or friends with disabilities. The components that we will be discussing today have been identified by our members as critical to the ultimate success of our vision. These components include issues of housing and residential services, transportation needs and services, employment needs, issues and services, healthcare issues, and last but certainly not least, support services that enable people with disabilities and their families to access the aforementioned services. With your support and our expertise, we feel that we can all make this vision a reality and make Alaska a model for the rest of the nation and a state that we can all proudly call home. And what I'd like to do is introduce each representative topic. Folks will come up and share with you about these topics. The first topic area that we want to talk about will be healthcare issues, and I'll allow the speaker to introduce themselves.
Hello, Madam Chair, Chairman. My name is Beth LaCrosse, and I am from Ketchikan, Alaska.
Beth, can I interrupt you one moment for the record? Please let the record show that Senator Lehman has arrived. And then for your information, Ketchikan, Fairbanks, and many other stations are online, teleconference-wise, listen only, so just so that people are aware. And please, I think there are seats up here. Please don't stand down there, back there. There are lots of seats here. There are seats.
We're calling for more chairs.
Scoot over, you guys. Maybe we'll scoot over and get more people in there, because it's going to be an hour and a half of standing, and you're going to be very tired, and your ankles will be swollen.
There are
some seats here.
If you keep standing, we're going to send you out for pizza.
Right. Good. Thank you. There are about four more seats up here, and there are seats.
Three or four over here.
Here. So please don't be shy. Beth, I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's all right.
Can you leave that? Can you bring that over here?
Okay. My name, Madam Chair and Chairpersons and members of the committee, my name is Beth LaCrosse, and I am from Ketchikan, Alaska. I am also a member of the Vocational Rehabilitation Advisory Committee. I am also disabled. I am here today to talk to you about the issue of health care, an issue that is important to me personally. Until I was eligible for Medicaid, I was responsible for all my medical costs, which left me in considerable debt. And with the cuts in Medicaid, I am no longer able to afford dental and optical services. Therefore, I would like to state that we need fully funded, accessible, comprehensive health care, which is an essential lifelong need for individuals with disabilities. Fully funded means each individual takes as much financial responsibility as they are able. Accessible means that healthcare services are available regardless of a location and are in compliance with existing legislation. And comprehensive means interventional prevention services, assistive technology devices and services, wraparound services, and all inclusive of healthcare services, as well as proactive and supportive services. I'll give you a little background on this subject. Over 62% of adult public assistance recipients experience disabilities. 63% of these people with disabilities are unemployed nationally, and two-thirds of these desire employment. There have been cuts in Medicaid funding and in areas of coverage over the past 5 years. These include cuts in vision, dental, occupational therapy, hearing aids, signaling devices, speech therapy, and others. Co-payments, which are now required, adversely affect low-income individuals and reduce access to health care services. Personal care assistants and certified nursing assistants are the lowest paid health care professionals in the industry today and are also in the highest demand. Medicaid cuts can result in worsening medical conditions, resulting in high-end costs, inappropriate use of emergency room services, decreased quality of life, reduced capacity for employment. We now have a crisis-driven system rather than a proactive preventive health care system, resulting in increased costs. And to give you an idea of it, institutionalization costs range from between $100,000 to $200,000 per person per year, whereas home-based costs average of $35,000 per person per year. Some parents are forced to give up parental rights when they place their child into foster care in order to receive Medicaid benefits until a Medicaid waiver can be obtained. Healthcare is a resource. It should not be a legal problem. Some alternatives and options that you may use is using long-range planning commissions, recommendations for funding, perhaps raising taxes, raising user fees, or decreased permanent fund dividend benefits. Another alternative would be to have a permanent fund dividend medical option similar to the college option we have now. We could also use the permanent fund dividend reserve. We could streamline billing processes for Medicaid waivers. And we must ensure no monetary cuts or reductions in services. Our recommendation to this committee is that we reinstate Medicaid benefits to 1993 levels. And the justification for this is that comprehensive coverage saves money by avoiding catastrophic health care costs and promotes the quality of life as well as expands employment. Medicaid waivers are allowing people to live outside nursing homes. Community-based services are functioning now and saving the state money. Additional money can be saved by utilizing more innovative service delivery systems. Let's use what works best and is culturally sensitive. We must allow for flexibility in the Medicaid regulations for training and salary administration. We must remember that people with disabilities deserve to be fully integrated and not treated as second-class citizens. We must remember that health care is not welfare. Health care is about equality and inclusion. In many cases, health care is a life or death issue, and in every case, it is a quality of life issue. Funding for Medicaid and health care should be considered as an investment in Alaska's future rather than a liability for today. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth, for your testimony. Be able to leave your statement with us?
We have copies.
We have copies,
thank
yes.
You. Yeah, thank you.
Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Beth, very much.
Thank you very much.
Jerry Best? I'm sorry, John Woodard. No, he's not here.
Yeah, our next issue that we'll be talking about will be transportation, and I'll let the transportation presenters.
Fine, thank you.
Madam Chair, my name is Peggy Bergen. I represent all the councils on the transportation issue. I'm a senior citizen, and I am concerned about accessible transportation for all Alaskans. Currently, there is accessible transportation without restrictions in only 4 of our cities statewide.
Okay. I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Jerry Best. I reside in Soldotna. I'm on the State Independent Living Council. Yes, Representative Davis. it's Soldotna. And I'm the transportation chair. And we're basically here to talk about 2 issues. The first one is we're looking for a resolution so that we don't exclude anyone, any disabled Alaskan, who needs accessible transportation. There are some exclusions. I want to tell you a quick little story, and I'm going to make it very brief to kind of get going here. And of course, this comes from Representative Davis's area, naturally, so you've got to hone in on this. We have a relatively new quadriplegic in our area, and unfortunately, he's one of those individuals who kind of falls in the area where if there is an accessible van, he can't ride on it because of age discrimination. In other words, he's not over the age of 60. This individual not only has had a traumatic change to his lifestyle, but he is in a need of medical care. In order for this man to go see his doctor, he has to make arrangements with the local nursing home, which, by the way, we're delighted that they will do it, but it cost him $70 round trip to go to the physician's office. And we're only talking about 6 miles. I can't tell you the exact miles, but it's relatively short. Now, we do have accessible vans in our area. However, if you are not 60 years of age or married to someone who is 60, such as I am, you are not allowed to purchase rides on those vans. So we are coming to you, and Peg is going to give you a little bit of background, to ask for a resolution to preclude the discrimination.
Well, in some communities, one or more local agencies operate buses or lift vans for transporting elderly people and people with disabilities. Often funding for these vehicles restricts the type of individuals who can ride on them. Poor coordination among agencies which have lift vans leaves service gaps where none need exist. Transportation is a major concern of ours.
And I hope that you notice that there are two of us user groups here presenting this to you. Peg has a couple of years on me, not much, but I'm a user. And I'm a user because it's very difficult for me to drive a car anymore, being in a wheelchair. So again, we're asking for a resolution. And what we would like you to do is, within this resolution, remove barriers which prevent joint use of vehicles.
And we enforce the and enforcement of the existing anti-discrimination statutes.
Okay. We'd like you to provide incentives to develop collaborative van usage agreements.
And encourage coordination between state, federal, local agencies, and user groups.
That's a relatively simple process for you to do by resolution. But we're not going to come here and not ask you for money. That's our second one. We're requesting some funding to enhance current transportation services, because to date, accessible transportation is inadequate for disabled Alaskans.
We support the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education, their recommendation for a minimum of $500,000 capital projects which are fully accessible.
We also, as a group, support a $1 million allocation for accessible transportation operating expenses. You can't run vans without gas, drivers, tires, and maintenance.
We recommend all accessible transportation funding be coordinated and or administered by the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities through Bruce Willis, Transit Coordinator.
And finally, we'd like to endorse the recommendation of the Alaska Public Transportation System, which is APTMS. I have to read that or I'd screw it up. Their implementation plan, and it's stated in Chapter 7. You can get this plan, which is also an inventory of all accessible vehicles in the state of Alaska, through Bruce Wells at DOT Public Facilities. And we thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Jerry, and Peggy, for your testimony. For just a moment, I think we have some questions. Senator Green.
Yeah. Jerry, are you the woman with whom I was on a teleconference this summer? Were you
yes,
in Arizona?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Well, you know that the work of that committee, which was talking about the very problem that Jerry's talking about, is still ongoing.
Yes, I am well aware of it.
They're supposed to be in the Mat-Su, I think, this coming week.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some, that is ongoing. I think that's great, because it certainly affects my district, and probably Soldotna and maybe North Pole more than it does an Anchorage.
The nice thing about the Mat-Su is they have applied for a rural agricultural grant, which will bring coordinators into the area to help coordinate. And through the efforts of United Way, it looks like Mat-Su will have a coordinated system. The same is going on in Kodiak, so we are making some strides. But it's when a public body uses public funds to purchase an accessible vehicle and gives it to an agency that denies everybody else use that we're concerned about.
And there, in the funding portion is what really caused the problem in this case in Soldotna. And it looks like in other places there's a workable solution there, which only makes sense and avoids duplication and two buses going to the same place in tandem. And so no, it's a good start.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your interest, and I enjoyed the teleconference.
Good, thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Please let me break in for the record. Representative Roper is joining the group, if you'll please make note. Jim, did you want to continue introducing?
If that works for you.
Fine, it works for me. Thank you.
Our next issue area will be on employment services.
Gary? You're taking note, huh? Representative Davies? You took note about something out there. Good, I'm glad.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you for having us today. I am Mary Jo Parks from the Mat-Su Valley, and I'm representing also the joint committees that met this week.
Madam Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to address this committee. My name is Bob Starbard. I attended the joint council meeting as a member of the general public and got drafted.
It happens to all of us.
our issue is employment of individuals with disabilities, or the lack thereof. A person with disabilities experiences limited employment opportunities due to physical and or attitudinal barriers existing in this state. The 1991 Harris poll revealed that of the 7 million persons receiving Social Security or SSI benefits due to disabilities, of those, 63% wanted a job. These individuals are unemployed or underemployed, not because they don't want to work or because they lack the abilities to work, but because of the barriers they encounter to getting employment. This is not an issue of only physical barriers. It's also an issue of attitudinal barriers in the arena of equal employment opportunities. While there exists some training, education, and tax incentive programs for employers, persons with disabilities, and the general public, many persons with disabilities do not pursue employment, training, or education opportunities because they continue to be unaware of the existence of those programs, or they fear the loss of a much-needed benefit if they were to pursue those. We have a number of recommendations, which Mary...
As a high school work study specialist for people with disabilities, I have the opportunity of working with students from the age of 15 to 21. These are students who experience disabilities. I help teach them how to work. I see them progress from a person who has little to no skills to becoming independent, self-sufficient people who do need assistance at times and in various ways. It is because of the success that I see that it especially upsets me to see these people go out of the high school programs and have no job opportunities. They sit and they wait. They are on a wait list that for many of them, it's 5 or more years. By that time, they've lost many of the skills that they've learned in the high school programs. Therefore, some of our recommendations for this committee is to allocate funds to the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation to their budget for a consolidated and ongoing program to educate and train employers, business owners, and the general public on issues that affect them and the employment of persons with disabilities. We would like to have created some additional business incentives for persons who employ persons with disabilities, such as a bid preference and legislative recognition awards. Thirdly, we'd like to have funding to be allocated in the amount of $4 million of the much-needed $52 million for the 1997 fiscal year to remove identified architectural barriers. And lastly, in any plans for economic development, we would like to have, especially in rural Alaska, that you include people who have disabilities and that we work with the Alaska Natives who have disabilities and make sure that they are part of the development so that they too can work in their communities. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mari Jo and Bob, thank you for your testimony. If you could leave your testimony, it would
be a
big help. Thank you very much.
Our next issue will be housing and residential services.
Did you have any questions? I'm sorry, I didn't ask.
Questions?
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Nancy Dodge from Fairbanks. I represent the housing committee of these 5 joint councils and committees. Our issue is that there is a lack of accessible, affordable places to live for Alaskans with disabilities. Housing for Alaskans with disabilities is considered by consumers and advocates to be the number one identified need for people with disabilities. This information came out of public forums sponsored by the Independent Living Council. Many people who experience disabilities are on wait lists for community-based residential services or public housing under Section 8. People with disabilities need to own affordable housing and need low-interest loans with which to buy housing. Housing must be integrated into the community. Existing housing opportunities negatively impact independence, productivity and the integration of individuals with disabilities. Barriers to owning one's housing include the requirement for down payments, the individual's ability to receive financing with limited credit, and low to no employment. The homes that families have found adequate in the past may require substantial modification to accommodate family members with serious disabilities. Often the family member has had to leave home, especially in rural areas, and travel to larger population centers to find adequate housing. The Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's Special Needs Advisory Committee is responsible for identifying and implementing ways to meet the housing needs of Alaskans with disabilities. When you confirm appointments, the disability community would like a consumer to represent them. We recommend that the AHFC develop new lending programs to allow individuals who have disabilities to purchase their own homes. AHFC and the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority are also requesting funds for home modifications. All councils strongly support this budget request. The legislature has approved a $1.5 million AHFC expenditure to build three group homes for individuals with disabilities who are leaving the Harborview Developmental Center. Some people with disabilities need the structure of teaching family homes. These are small, community-based group homes which emphasize social skills development and de-emphasize demeaning characteristics of institutions, as well as prepare individuals for total independent living choices. As the executive director of an agency that runs group homes, I'm well aware of the fact that there are budget constraints and that funding is drying up. And as was previously mentioned through the person speaking on health care, if you look at this from a cost-need basis, you'll find that a group home, the cost per individual per year is approximately $45,000, whereas Harborview, the cost was around $150,000. So it's a great savings. We have three recommendations for the legislature. Number one, please support funding requested in the governor's budget under the AHFC and Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority for housing modifications. Number two, when you confirm members to the AHFC, ensure that someone recommended by the disability community is appointed to the corporation so that the needs and interests of the disability community remain a top priority. And three, continue to fund community-based teaching family programs rather than institutional facilities. Thank you. And there will be a copy of this also in the packet.
Nancy,
This is Representative Tom Bryce. I just got online.
Thank you, Representative Bryce. We're glad you joined us.
Glad to be here. Is Marie Simmons there? I had a quick comment.
Yes? Marie is here. If you'd like to make your comment, go ahead.
Thank you. Marie, Tom Bryce, is your daughter go to Howard Luke?
Thank you, Representative Bryce.
No, yes. A question.
Yes.
The answer is yes. Thank you.
Tell her that I met her and it was good to meet her.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bryce. There are about 110 people in this room that were also glad you met her.
Where you are, Madam Chair.
I'm sorry. Representative Bundy, you had a comment or a question for Nancy. I'm sorry.
I'm going to give Representative Bryce a postcard next time. As long as we're sending personal messages, Nancy, if you'd like to wave to gavel's gavel, I'm sure Angeline will say hello back.
Oh, thank you.
You're kidding.
No.
Thank you. Let's get some more decorum back in here, please. Are there any other further questions from Nancy? Yes, Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Nancy, what percentage of the unmet need is the three group homes at HFC is funding the construction of? How much will that whittle down the need that's out there for specialized housing?
Oh, I'm not sure overall, but are you asking how many people will be left at Harborview? Or
You've calculated how much need there is for specialized housing for Alaskans who experience disabilities, and HFC's ongoing efforts I guess I wanted to make the point that it doesn't even come close to the
No,
to the
it need. Doesn't. I don't have exact numbers, but I'd be glad to get that information for
Please.
You.
Thank you.
On that point, Madam Chairman, the $1.5 million, as I understand, that takes care of the Harborview problem, but it does not address other housing needs.
I'm delighted that we are solving the Harborview problem, and I think it's going to be a big asset to Valdez and to Harborview and to its residents. I think it's wonderful that we're doing this. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions of Nancy? Thank you very much for your testimony. If you'd leave it, I'd appreciate it if you.
It's the whole packet that you'll be receiving.
Wonderful.
Everybody.
Thanks. Great. Thank you.
Our next topic area Jim? Will be support services for people with disabilities and families.
Chair. My name is Leslie Yamamoto. I'm from Fairbanks. I've been a member on the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education for 6 years now, and I represent two children with severe disabilities, and I just wanted to share with you how our family has really benefited from the community-based services that we have received. Because of these community-based services, both of our children haven't required the more expensive alternative, which is institutionalized care, and we've been able to be a family and have them in the community. I would like to describe for the committee what supportive services look like in a community. There are many types. One that we have really benefited from is respite care. And respite care is absolutely critical to the preservation of the family. Primary caregivers need a break, and this is what respite care allows. Just a break from the constant stress of constant care. Respite diverts individuals from more expensive and unnecessary out-of-home placements, which take them away from their family. The council has identified 170 families for this top priority. Other supportive services are community-based, and there is a wide array of those. They're individualized, depending on what the person needs. They can include several of the following. Family supports, service coordination, respite care, personal care attendants, residential, transitional, and vocational services, assistive technology, ways to manage inappropriate behaviors, some family training, teaching. All of these individualized services allow for natural support, such as friends, neighbors, and family members, to provide services in rural and urban settings. We feel that this is a real good use of financial resources. The cost to the state has reduced significantly since individualized services first began. 5 years ago, Alaska paid $30,000 per person per year for individualized services. In FY95, it was $13,827. The reduction in cost is directly related to DMHDD's policy about providing the services that the individual and family wants and needs, rather than a prescribed set of services. By contrast, institutional care at Harborview Developmental Center costs about $151,000 per person per year. So as you can see, the more family approach is not only cost effective, but it lets us allow for and care for our loved ones in our community. It's unfortunate, but I have some numbers that we really need to address. There are 1,948 Alaskans are unable to access their communities because they lack these supportive services. 658 Alaskans are waiting for developmental disability services. 610 are waiting for infant learning programs. These are babies, ages 0 to 3. 600 requests for American Sign Language interpreter services were denied this year. This could be for doctor's appointments, anything, you know, where this is necessary, and they were denied. 30 blind Alaskans need services to live in rural communities. 50 or more Alaskans want to leave institutions, but they need these supportive services. We need funding for these community-based services across the disabilities. Individuals with disabilities need to be able to purchase supportive services that they need in their community. As a citizen of Alaska, we all know the conditions of the state finances. And as a parent, and on behalf of this community of people with disabilities, we ask that you don't just cut programs, but please, seriously share the hurt with us as you consider all the possible ways to assume financial success for the people of Alaska.
Thank you very much. Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Leslie. I think you have cut right to the heart of the matter with your closing comments there, and shared some comments with some folks just a little earlier that none of us started in this project wanting to have to make the hard decisions we face, and I'm sure I speak for the people at this table when I say that we will make any decisions with as much care and consideration as we can.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Carolyn?
Yes.
I still think my favorite teaching film was the one I used to borrow from you folks at the Drug and Alcohol Program, the touch film. I think perhaps the legislature ought to see that one once in a while.
Has new meaning to me now.
It does.
Thank you, Leslie. Oh. Carolyn, were you going to make a statement?
Yes,
please, go ahead.
My name is Carolyn Peter, and I'm from Fort Yukon, currently living in Anchorage. I appreciate the time to be able to talk with you. I became blind 4 years ago while living in Fort Yukon and teaching for the University of Alaska Fairbanks at the extended campus in Fort Yukon. I was able to continue my teaching because fortunately we teach by audio conference, and it wasn't the difficult task of getting around. At that time, I started going to the Alaska Center for Blind Adults in Anchorage in the summertime for my training. I am so grateful for this type of training because it gave me back my life. I thought when I went blind that that was the end, and I felt my spirit die day by day as I thought I couldn't do things. And what they taught me at the Alaska Center for Blind Adults was I really can do most things except fly an airplane and drive a car, and I can probably do that, but it's not legal. And I have many stories to tell. Traveling is always interesting, and I was told once as I was getting off an airplane that I forgot one of my ski poles, and so I think we have a lot of awareness work to do out there. What I would like to talk about just a bit is how difficult it is when you live in rural Alaska with a disability and my experiences with that. I went to the center, and I'm grateful that I got to the center, but then it was going back home. And see, with my cane travel, I learned how to follow curbs. I learned how to cross the streetlights. I learned how to listen to traffic flow patterns. And that was very important to me because as a blind person, I want to be able to move from rural to urban areas. But then I went back home, and I didn't find those curbs. And I was very nearly seriously injured by a construction site that hadn't been completely surrounded, and I almost fell into. And so we desperately need people who will help make that transition back. It would be wonderful if we could have these care people in each community and instructors out there that can help us. But if we can't have that, we need the people to help us make the transition from the training centers out there. I'm sure the same is true with deafness. You know, we need translators. We need people to work with families, to teach families how to handle disabilities and help us stay independent instead of just taking over for us and doing everything for us. Right now, my sighted guide is my six-year-old grandson who I'm raising. And that's quite a journey. The other day I said, Zach, could you tell me what color shirt this is? And he says, oh, no, don't tell me you're colorblind, too.
Oh, wonderful.
So I'm learning to read Braille while Zach's learning to read in school, and I think his reading is progressing very nicely because he has to do so much reading for me. I thank you for the opportunity to speak, and we'll be talking to you again.
Thank you, Carolyn, for that story and for your testimony. That story is wonderful. Thank you. We'll have to meet Zach one of these days. Are there questions? Representative Roeckberg.
Just for the record, Madam Chair, the Alaska Center for Blind is located in my district in the heart of Spinard, and I think they may need some expansion money, so I wanted to make sure that was
covered. Thank you very much.
Another fine mess you've gotten us into, Carolyn.
No other questions? Jim, that seems to be the closing, unless there are other people out there that would like to testify.
Not that I'm aware of. I think we wanted to close. I guess we're near our timeline anyway.
Well, you're doing very well. I'm amazed. Let me just say, and I think the other members will probably speak of some. I am thrilled because of the job we have this down here. As you know, it's very, very close and very tight to the belt. I am thrilled that you're together, that you're all together, because with that kind of unity, you will come up with plans that will help, and we will get more community involvement. We will get more church involvement. We will get more people out there that will come up with ideas and help like we used to have. I hate to say the old days, but the old days were, I think, a little kinder and a little more giving. And I think we're going back to that because there is a community out there, as we all know, that needs to feel at home and needs to be participating, and we need to all work at that. And I really appreciate you coming and testifying, and I wish you all kinds of good luck. And please, we would like you to wish us luck. Thank you.
If I could say just a few more words as well, we appreciate that you appreciate our coming together. and I hate to brag, but we don't know that this has ever happened in any state in the nation yet, where the disability-related councils come together and say, what can we do together to solve these problems? And it's really been a pretty amazing week. We're all exhausted. I think we're all looking forward to doing it again. I know I'm speaking for everybody on the boards and councils in the disability community to thank you for your time and to thank you for your past commitments to advancing the rights of persons with disabilities, and we're all really looking forward to your future commitments to advancing our rights.
Jim, I have another question. Somebody mentioned, and I think it was Beth or somebody, that wanted to recognize businesses that included disability employees. I think that's a wonderful idea, and I urge you to pick out in your community or in your district somebody that you feel is qualified for that and get to your legislator and give them a background of it, and it's one of the easiest things we can do, and it will help the state and it will help the community. I think it's a wonderful idea.
Well, correction, it's not free, but we do have the mechanism in place right now where we can do a legislative citation for those businesses that truly are deserving of recognition. But we need to hear from you and nominate them, because obviously you have the experience that we don't.
We'll be doing that throughout the state at the local level as well, recognizing businesses and employers. And I wanted to mention that we have prepared position papers on all five of these issues that are available on with Mr. Schiffer, and we'll make sure that those get to you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you all coming. I know it was a... I know if anybody is here from Valdez, I applaud your stability to be able to get here with 7 feet of snow. Thank you. Happy birthday. Very good.
Yeah. Oh, did you tell me?